Penguin Random House Audio presents The New Allergy Solution. Supercharge Resistance / Medication Stop Suffering by Clifford W. Bassett, M.D. Read for you by Ryan Gazelle. Forward. This is going to be the worst allergy season in decades, perhaps ever. I can't tell you how often I've heard that story pitch in my 3+ decades as a medical correspondent for network television stations in New York and Philadelphia. Actually, I've heard that pretty much every single year, and the reasons for this purported allergy apocalypse are as varied as the weather. It's been a very dry winter spring. It's been a very wet winter spring. It's been unusually warm or cold or sunny or humid. You get the picture. It's not that the public relations folks or allergists pitching those stories are dishonest or aren't well-meaning. It's that the rationale for the awful symptoms that allergy sufferers were experiencing was a moving target, crafted to fit the particular weather pattern that year. It's enough to make one a little cynical. But what was always missing from those myopic explanations was something to help me convey to the general public why they were sneezing, rubbing their eyes, and going through a box of Kleenex a day, and, more important, what they could do to feel better. In other words, allergy sufferers, and that is the right word, need to understand their condition more fully and clearly, its causes and possible remedies, so that they can participate in their treatment. An educated patient is a far more willing patient, and ultimately a happier patient. That's where the new allergy solution comes in. Here, for the first time, is a clear and concise description of allergies, the many types and causes, why you have them and your kids or spouse don't, what makes them worse, and especially what works and doesn't work to get better. Think of the new allergy solution as a kind of comprehensive owner's manual for your eyes, nose, throat, and sinuses, or at least for how pollen, food, medications, cosmetics, and other allergens affect them. Over the years, I've referred many people, including my own children, to Dr. Bassett. He looks at each one of them as a human being with a puzzle to be solved, because every person's allergies and solutions are going to be different. And solve them he does. Almost invariably, I also end up explaining some aspect of their allergy or treatment to them, not because Dr. Bassett didn't or wouldn't, but because they forgot to ask or didn't want to bother him. Now, the new allergy solution does all that and more. It really answers all the questions anyone with allergies could ask, and a few they didn't think to ask. Wow, what a relief. Not only will this book help countless allergy sufferers, it will save me tons of hours explaining allergies to friends, family, and colleagues. So, on my behalf, as well as that of all the sneezers and coughers out there, thank you, Dr. Bassett. You have done us all a great favor. Max Gomez, Ph.D. Part 1. New World. Chapter 1. Trigger Happy. What's going on? These days, spring springs earlier than it used to. Much earlier. A study in the International Journal of Climatology, I'll assume you do not have a subscription, reports that since the late 1940s, spring in the United States has been arriving earlier and earlier. Summers, too. At a rate of more than 1.5 days per decade. Which means that spring now starts approximately 10 days earlier than it did right after World War II. In Europe, the creep is similar. It's estimated that by century's end, early onset spring will arrive more than 3 weeks earlier than it did just 2 to 3 generations ago. In some places, nearly a month earlier. The effect on coasts tends to be more pronounced. With this change comes a longer growing season, which for allergy sufferers means lots more sneezing, wheezing, itching, and other annoying, frequently debilitating challenges. Allergy tends not to get the respect that other medical conditions do. It's often portrayed as an inconvenience rather than a sometimes life-altering situation. In my practice, I see many patients, young, older, middle-aged, who have never before had seasonal allergy but are experiencing it for the first time. The question so many of them ask me, why is this happening? The answer is one of the many reasons I was driven to write this book. We are in the midst of an allergy explosion. An estimated 30% of Americans, or roughly 100 million people, suffer from allergy and asthma. A Gallup study puts the figure at 50%. Globally, allergy affects 20 to 40% of the population. The rate in urban environments has increased for the past half century. In the United Kingdom, it's estimated that up to half of all kids suffer from some allergic condition. Once upon a time, you knew a few people with allergies, maybe more than that if your family or neighbors were genetically unlucky enough to have a disposition. More on the genetics of allergy in Chapter 2. Now, probably you know or know of 5 to 10 times that number. While many are born wired for their allergic condition, it may be that the environments we now inhabit, both outdoor and in, the behaviors we engage in, the products we use, and the foods we consume have all changed enough in a short time that we are confronted by a genuinely new reality. The uptick has occurred not just in one or two kinds of allergy. It spans the spectrum. It's seen in seasonal allergies and allergic respiratory disease, including asthma. Between 2001 and 2009, the number of Americans diagnosed with asthma grew by over 5 million across all demographics. It's seen in food allergies. The CDC says that food allergy in children rose by half again between 1997 and 2011. The rate of peanut allergy doubled in the last decade. The European Academy of Allergy and Clinical Immunology reported a 700% rise over the last decade in allergic reactions among European kids. Why is this happening? In many cases, allergy triggers, the source of the scourge, exposure to which sets off an immune system reaction ranging from unpleasant to activity-limiting to debilitating to deadly, have gotten bigger, badder, and way more prevalent. Ragweed, the central culprit behind fall hay fever for those residing in regions with seasonal climates, is growing faster and bigger in many places, and blooming longer, with more pollen per plant and possibly more potent allergic potential. Combine this with other environmental troubles, such as human-generated air pollutants, and it creates a potential synergistic, amplified impact on your health. Poison ivy today can be found more widely, and it's generally bigger and more potent, too. Even our mix of trees has altered the allergy landscape. In 1950, the Native American elm, once the most popular street tree in neighborhoods across the United States and other countries, was a modest shedder of insect-transported pollen. But then Dutch elm disease ravaged the elm population, killing off billions, yes, billions of these trees in the 1960s and 70s. Among their replacements were hardwood species like London plane sycamore and Norway maple, and a greater proportion of male trees, selected largely because they shed less, making it easier to keep streets, sidewalks, and yards clean, but they also produced more allergenic wind-conveyed pollen. Says renowned horticulturalist and author Tom Ogren, in many areas today, tree pollen makes up more than 70% of the total urban pollen load. Wasps, whose stings can cause allergic reaction ranging from swelling of the skin to hives to potentially deadly anaphylaxis, arrive earlier in the season and stay later. Fire ants, mostly a fixture in the South, seem over the past decade and a half to be
sample complete. Ready to continue?